Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Mr. Tressida Bendigo is here to commence a further chapter of Office Wife.
For the life of me, I don't know what the modern young woman is coming to. Take what's just happened. My little scheme to get that pretty Bronson girl out of Jack Pilgrim's office fell through. And here I am. They're tired and dry with an infernal eternal triangle still in my hands. I don't know what to make of it. Belly puller offered her £20 a week and all sorts of other inducements to leave my firm and join his. Do you know what the girl said? She said no. And quick as a flash, she asked, who put him up to it? Me or Marcia Pilgrim? All right, that's enough for me. I only butted in with Puller in the first place for Marcia's sake, to save Jeff from making a goat of himself. And I won't do it again. Never pays. I'll stick to McGough and with dividends. They can all go and stew.
What are you muttering about, Tressida?
Well, if you were must know, Harriet, I was thinking about Jeff being cooped up all day long with that deuced attractive secretary of his.
What's attractive about her?
Well, I imagine Jeff would find her attractive.
I don't know where the young men of today keep their eyes or their taste. All that long yellow hair falling all over the place. Shoes with disgusting straps round the ankles. It's a wonder to me, Tressida, that anyone like that Bronson girl doesn't wear a bone in her nose.
It might be fetching at that.
So she was too shrewd for you, was she? Turned that Puller man down, eh?
Turned him down flat.
The girl's not a complete nincompoop, then. I wouldn't work for Benny Puller either.
No, you'll be quite safe, Harriet.
Well,
it was a mistake anyway. Jeff and Marcia are quite capable of running their own lives. And in future, I'm not going to interfere.
I'm not worried about him. I'm thinking of Marcia. You spoiled her, Tressida.
I know. No kids of my own. She was the only one of our sister and Romilly Capehart. Oh, beautiful youngster. Just like a doll. How the devil could a chap avoid spoiling
her? I only hope we never regret it. What's this Bronson girl paid?
Fleming gives her a tenner a week, I think. But she'll soon be due for a few bob rise.
And she's fond of Jeff to the extent of a tenner a week if Puller offered her 20. That's quite a lot, seeing Jeff's already married. What does she expect to gain by it?
Harriet, you've got me.
A clever, pretty girl turning down a generous offer so she can remain private secretary to a clever, handsome young man. Are you wise to let her remain?
Yes, because Pilgrim insists that he run his office, and he won't budge to pander to what other people think about his secretary. And he's right, Harriet.
Well, we'll see. I think I might get some of my cronies to work. You'll try to find out one or two things about this Miss Stella Bronson. She might have quite an interesting background.
Would you mind very much helping out, Stella? Miles Hendricks goes away with flu and Tess Barker is too, I believe.
How long does he want me?
Oh, not more than half an hour, I should think. He said there were only a couple of urgent letters.
Oh, that's all right, then. I don't mind a scrap.
Good lass. I'm not very keen on lending you around the office, but it'll help Miles out. He's a good chap.
Lending me? What have we here? The possessive instinct of the human male?
Go on, off you go. Or you can remind him about that 4 o'clock conference, if you like. Anyway, it'll be good to get rid of you for half an hour.
I'll bet a dry biscuit you're a babbling wreck crying for mercy by the time I get back. Oh, the aspirin is in the top drawer of the filing cabinet.
This is very kind of you, Miss Bronson. Sit down. Can I say a few things to you in complete confidence, Miss Bronson?
Why not? Everyone else around this office does.
All right, then. First of all, I must confess that this is a frame-up. I don't want you to take letters. I want to give you a minor lecture. Now, listen, Miss Bronson. I generally believe in keeping my business and my counsel to myself. But I'm very fond of Jeff Pilgrim, and I don't altogether like the trend of events here at the moment.
It would be nice if you'd tell me where I come in.
That's easy. I don't want any repetition of that business with Benny Puller over Jeff's interstate excursion.
Oh, really, Mr. Hendricks, aren't I ever going to hear the last of that affair? It had absolutely nothing to do with me. And it's been discussed with Jeff Pilgrim, and the matter's closed.
Not with me, it's not.
Oh?
I happen to know that you had quite a lot to do with it. Now look here, there's no sense in us getting terse with each other. Just don't let anything of the sort happen again, that's all.
You seem very sure of your facts.
I am.
Well, if Jeff sees fit to accept my explanation, I don't see why you have to rake it all up again.
It won't be raked up again unless there's any more office gossip.
Have you any authority to haul me over the coals like this?
None whatever. It's purely personal.
Oh. All right. I'll take it in that spirit, Mr. Hendricks. And if you want to know why, it's because I think a lot of Jeff Pilgrim, too.
You really? You're not just... you're not just keeping your hand in by a certain amount of...
Don't struggle for words, Mr. Hendricks. No, it's nothing like that.
I was prepared not to, but I like you, Stella. You may be a female scallywag, and I think you jolly well are. But at least you're not afraid to come out into the open. Now, look, in all sincerity, you're not getting too keen on Jeff, are you?
What on earth can I say to that?
Because if you are, clear out of this firm quickly before you give yourself a lot of unhappiness. Jeff's wrapped up in his wife, Stella. And he always will be.
Thank you for telling me.
Has it any significance for you?
That, Mr. Hendricks, is something you must let me keep to myself.
Oh, I'm glad you're back, Stella. You were right about me being a babbling wreck by the time you got back. Mr. Bendigo was on the phone a minute ago. The conference at 4 is off, and we're having it tomorrow afternoon instead. Now, how do you like that for messing up a nice, tidy day?
What's the reason, did you say?
He most definitely did. Benny Puller will be here for it. We're going to discuss ways and means for handling a large part of Benny's future shipments by air. You know what that means for you and me?
Between now and tomorrow afternoon, we'll have to get out pages and pages of figures, I presume.
Yes, and draw up some kind of a report on the strength of them. Luckily, we had that hunch and we have some of the groundwork done already. Otherwise, we'd be working tonight.
Well, I can come back if you like to.
Oh, no, we'll be able to manage if we hop into it right away. So let's get going. Oh, and listen, the pat on the back for the hunch is yours.
About air freighting?
Yes. You must be able to read Puller's mind.
Then just make sure I get my raise. Promise?
You mercenary female, you. Hi, Master. You're home, darling? Hello, what's this note? Left me already? I'm with Melody Parsons, darling, and I mightn't be home till 10, so you can make yourself some of that awful egg hash of yours, love, the woman in your life. Matter of fact, I feel just like some egg hash. Well, first thing, an apron. By Jove, I hope the hens call with the eggs. Yes, hello.
Is that you, Jeff?
Oh, yes. Yes, Mr. Bendigo.
Look here, my boy. You're going to cut the thread. That conference is called for 10 in the morning, not 4 in the afternoon. I don't know how I get to mess you up. Will you be able to have those figures ready on time?
Yes, I'll be able to manage, sir. I'll go back to the office tonight. Get right to work.
Sorry to put you about like this, Jeff.
No, it's quite all right, sir. No trouble at all.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock, then. Good night, my boy.
Good night, sir. Good night. Well, now, let's see. The egg hash is off. Oh, blast them. I'm going to eat first. I wish I could ring Narcia, but Melody Parsons isn't on the phone. Still, I don't suppose it matters. Oh, gosh, I was looking forward to an early night. Oh, for 2 pins, I'd ring Stella and ask her to come back here. Now, where the dickens did she put those files? Okay. Oh, hang it, this is no good. Where the devil is this stuff? I suppose I better ring the girl. Oh, where the devil is her number? She wrote it down somewhere in this little, Oh, yes. I've left this a bit late. Probably be here till 1 a.m.
Hello?
Oh, Stella. Listen, Stella, I'm in a jam.
Oh, is that you, Jeff?
Yes. I'm in the office. I'm sorry to trouble you, but what did you do with all that dope we had worked out on air movements? The conference is for 10 a.m, not the afternoon, so I have to hop into it right away.
Oh, what a nuisance. I brought it all home to work on myself tonight.
All of it?
Every scrap. Look, I'll get dressed, jump into a cab, and bring it over to you.
No, 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 I don't want you to do that. Look, have you still got your glamour on, or is your hair in curlers?
I'm almost as you saw me at 5 o'clock, only I was going to work in front of the fire in comfort, so
Well, I'll tell you what. I have my car here, so I'll scream over to your place and pick up those files. Give me about 10 minutes. I'm sorry to be a pest, but I just can't be helped. Bye for now.
What wonderful luck. Well, no one can say I can drive this, but oh boy, am I going to make the most of it. You and your secretary, Jeffrey, are going to have an evening together in front of the fire.
We invite you to listen again to further chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.